Numbers chapter 19 tonight in the Word of the Lord. We're going to read several verses together and trust the Lord will help us tonight in every kind of way. I want to say before I even read the scripture tonight, tell you what we're preaching on, and that I don't claim to be no kind of expert about much of anything. And tonight, the subject matter, there'll be some prophecy involved. And of course, we're going to preach and magnify the Lord. I'm excited about this message because I'm going to be able, to just take Jesus and do this with him right here and lift him up to you and let you see him. But there's some prophecies and different things that I believe are in view and things that are going to come. I'm very, very cautious as a pastor. Too much of dealing with a lot of current events, because you go trying to preach current events and trying to make things fit in the Bible, you'll look foolish for it's over. And so I've always tried to be very cautious of that. And so even tonight, I'm not going to be real dogmatic because I don't know and you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Amen. You got to get that in your head. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. So not in your life, much less anybody else's life. But I do want to try to help us tonight on some things I've just kind of sat back, studied on, pondered on, listened about. And I believe it'll be a blessing to us this evening here in the house of the Lord. Numbers 19, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle, the congregation, seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it in the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation, the children of Israel, for a water of separation. It is a purification. Listen to this. It is a purification for sin. He that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. It shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. I'm interested tonight in these verses as they concern God's instruction about the offering and sacrifice of what is known as the red heifer. And it's already got back to me. I let Sam handle prayer room for me. I heard that. He thought, amen, when I was talking this morning about the red heifer and what I was going to preach tonight, that I was talking about myself. Amen. What a son that is. Amen. And this evening, I want to deal with this subject. What's the big deal about the red heifer? What's the big deal about the red heifer? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, how desperate we are for the help of our God. We know tonight in ourself dwelleth no good thing, no power, no unction, no ability. Lord, we can without you do nothing. Lord, tonight as we come before you in this service tonight, we're asking tonight that you would help us beyond our own abilities. May, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the God of glory move in this place and give us insight. May we see the things concerning Jesus that need to be seen this evening. Lord, if you'd help us tonight, we'd be helped. If you'd stir us tonight, Lord, we'd be stirred. I pray this evening that you do that by your great power. Draw some sinner tonight, be it in the building, in this place, maybe listening by way of radio, maybe tonight watching or in days to come, the live stream. Lord, I pray they'd see the Lord Jesus magnified, high and lifted up. And all that you do tonight, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. These verses that we read tonight deal with the offering and sacrifice of the red heifer in order that the tabernacle would be purified as a whole, and the remaining ashes that we read about in the latter part of the verses we read this evening, they would be used ceremonially that they might purify people from sin and from defilement. This sacrifice, it's separate from the offerings that would later be commanded to be made in the book of Leviticus, the sin offering and the burnt offering and the trespass offering. And on and on we could go. Much study has been made of those offerings that would later be given by the command of Moses for the children of Israel under that economy of worship to observe. But this one stands alone separate from those. And thus, in that sense, it is and was and will be again a very special ritual that not only would start worship under the economy of Moses, but according to the last few words that we read there, that in verse number 10, this would be a statute forever. And so the Lord had interest in giving this to Moses, that it would be observed forever. The offering of a red heifer. Why a red heifer? Why not a black heifer or a white heifer or some other offering to be made? Several speculations, if you will, have been made about this in light of Israel's broken relationship from Egypt. In Egypt, you'll find that a heifer had been appointed a sacrifice here in opposition to the Egyptian superstition, which held these cows, these heifers, sacred and would be worshipped by way of worshiping the goddess Isis. And we consider that, and one of their historians has said of Egypt, that they sacrifice males, that is male bullocks, both old and young, but that it was not lawful for them in Egypt to even offer females because of their association with their goddess Isis. And alongside of that, a red heifer would be offered maybe by the people of God at the command of the Lord, because the Egyptians, they sacrificed red bulls to the evil demon Typhon as a deity that they acknowledged and worshiped. And so this is God's way of setting in opposition to Egypt. Let me say tonight about this, that everything God does is in opposition to the world. He ain't on page with the world tonight, and the world is in opposition with Christ and with God, and so God is with this world. And so this system stands in opposition to everything that Israel had observed by way of Egypt and their worship. According to the Mishnah, now the Mishnah's Hebrew document, and a lot of traditional things are passed on, a lot of things we can learn from the Mishnah, and we read that and study that sometimes for background, and yet you got to be careful, because there's some things in the Mishnah that contradict Scripture. And you always go with Scripture over every other document that men would look to. But according to the Mishnah, only 9 red heifers have ever been sacrificed since Moses and Eleazar offered the first that is mentioned here in Numbers chapter 19. The last red heifer that was offered, we know through history, was offered by a man of the name Ishmael, the son of Peabite, in 15 AD. And since the second temple has been destroyed by the Roman Empire in 70 AD, there's not been the opportunity for another to be sacrificed. The Mishnah as well would predict through one of their rabbis it indicates the 10th and final red heifer will be offered by their Messiah at the rebuilding of the future temple. Now, you understand, again, the Mishnah is not inspired scripture, but these are things they believe. These are traditions that have been passed down to them. And what they have in their mind and where they are and what they're going to do and what they think they are going to see. And so this evening we consider that for many years now there has been a desire among Jews to hasten the coming of their Messiah. And even among some Christians, you're hearing in this very hour, they thought that they're going to speed up the return of Christ by attempting to find a red heifer to sacrifice again. Now, I want to say nothing could be more foolish. You ain't going to speed him up or slow him down. Amen. When he comes and when that appointed time is, it'll not tarry. Amen. You ain't going to stop it when he's coming. You're not going to hasten his coming. Amen. He promised he's coming, and he said of himself, amen, that he doesn't know, the angels of glory don't know, and mankind doesn't know, and only the Father in heaven knows when our Savior is coming again. Amen. That's right. Amen. And so today there is a rise of talk among Jews and even Christians about the red heifer. They're trying to make plans and hasten and promote this to have one sacrificed. Are you ready for this? Here's their plans. They want to sacrifice one at Passover 2024. The red heifer is a big deal in the hour we live. I'm not saying to you and I, and I'll show you tonight, that to you and I as New Testament believers, we're not looking for a red heifer. We don't need a red heifer. And we're not trying to hasten the coming of Christ. We know he's on the way, and he'll come when that time that has been appointed is reached. But this evening, it is a big deal in our day and in our world. There's a lot of things that I believe are going on as a result of Numbers chapter 19. And there is world war. There's world war really going on tonight. And things that are going on in Israel and in Jerusalem and in the Middle East that have an attachment to Numbers chapter 19. And so we're dealing tonight with the subject, what's the big deal about the red heifer? Notice several things with me this evening in our time together about the red heifer according to the Bible and its relevance now and in days to come. Numbers chapter 19 and the verses we've read tonight, notice with me number one, the instructions for the red heifer. This matter, the red heifer, and the deal, the big deal, it's become in our hour and in our day. This is the initiation of this matter. And so there are three specific qualifications the red heifer is to meet according to the scripture. In Numbers 19 and in verse number 2, here it is. It is to be without spot. Number one, number two, wherein is no blemish, and number three, upon which never came yoke. God said, you're not to offer me any old heifer out of your pasture. That I am interested in something very, very specific. And he sets the parameters and the qualification of this offering and this sacrifice, if it is to qualify as an adequate sacrifice before God and the tabernacle, the Hebrew Talmud. And I know you say, preacher, you talking about the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Torah. Well, hang on, the Torah is actually scripture tonight. But the Talmud would add, and this is what the Jews are looking for tonight. They add about the red heifer sacrifice. and it must be perfect in its redness. And here's what they add, even in its hooves, its very hooves from the top of its head to the bottom of its hooves, it must be perfect in its redness. Even two hairs upon, I don't know how many hairs are on your head, much less on a heifer in the field. But they, my friend, said two hairs of any other color would be a disqualifying mark set upon that heifer being a qualified sacrifice. It must be, the Talmud said, it must be 3 to 4 years old. It cannot have ever even been leaned on, and that it must never have been bred. And we think about these qualifications tonight, and the biblical qualifications, and then the added qualifications that would likely fall under those, their understanding of that, this is a very important sacrifice. Much stringency would have to be observed in order to qualify or disqualify the offering and the instructions for the red heifer. As we read it tonight in Numbers chapter number 19, hang with me, I'm going somewhere, I promise. The offering of these heifers involve, listen to what it involves. I read it tonight, let me break it down. It involves slaying it without the camp. Without the camp, God said it can't die in the camp, it's got to die outside the camp. And it's got to be slain. You'll find the sprinkling of blood before the tabernacle, verse 4. You'll find the burning of her skin, her flesh, her blood, and her dung in verse number 5. You'll find the casting of cedar, hyssop, and scarlet into its burning. That's verse number 6. And you'll find the gathering and storing of its ashes outside the camp in a clean place. Verse number 9. And when we give consideration to this tonight, these ashes then, after all of that had been done, the body of this heifer had been led outside the camp, slain, set on fire, blood sprinkled, the cedar and the hyssop and the scarlet, the cleansing of the priest, the cleansing of the one who had gathered the ashes, and that these ashes would be retrieved as needed and mixed in running water in a vessel and then sprinkled upon the items and or the people that for whatever reason would be deemed unclean, that they might be cleansed ceremonially for the worship under that economy. If you look down in the end of Numbers chapter 19, here's what you'll find in verse number 17. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer a purification for sin. Running water shall he put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day. And on the seventh day, he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. And he goes on and talks about this sprinkling of purification. As a man had come in contact with some sort of sickness, some sort of death, some sort of defilement, and he had been deemed unfit and unworthy and unqualified to come before God in worship. God said when that man realizes his defilement and he acknowledges his own corruption, he's to go down there to the priest and pronounce himself as being unclean. And that the priest would then take those ashes of the heifer, mix them in the running water, and sprinkle that upon him with the hyssop, and then he would be made clean. Are you listening? What a picture tonight name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, my friend, these ashes of an heifer were of great importance unto the Jewish people and their ability to worship the Lord. What a picture of Christ and his sacrifice for us. I'm glad he went without the camp, and I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but he went without the camp. He died without the city. He went without the congregation. And there, my friend, on Golgotha's hill, they slew him. They crucified him. They shed his blood. And his blood became the atonement for our sin, the propitiation for our soul, that it might be saved. I'm glad, thank God, he was slain without the camp. But my friend, it wasn't just the slaying of the red heifer that what it provided in that slaying. It not only, my friend, was the blood of it, but it provided further purification. How many of y'all understand sometimes we as saved people get dirty and sometimes we get unclean? I'm glad what Jesus did at Calvary, it not only, my friend, was effectual for me as a sinner, and it might bring me into salvation, but it is the purification. He is the cleansing from unrighteousness and sin in the life of a child of God. Amen. If a man say he has no sin, he is a liar, and he makes God a liar, because there's not one of us that can claim to not have sin tonight. I know I've been harping on this. I intend to beat it, amen, till it's dead and then stomp it in the ground. Amen. But sinless perfection's a false doctrine. Amen. I know that's the goal. I know that's the desire. I know that's the aim we're trying to shoot for tonight. Amen. But if that, my friend, listen. And here's what Jesus said after he said, when you pray, say, give us day by day our daily bread. In light of that very day, here's what he said. You pray, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. There is, my friend, there is a matter. And we do get unclean and we do get dirty. And we have this desire to live for God and to worship God. But if we don't do it from a place of holiness and cleanliness, we'll never see God. But I'm glad Jesus provided a way, even after we're saved, that we're cleansed and made clean and made right and made acceptable to come in the presence of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight, amen, he's provided everything I need. Amen. He's my salvation when I got saved, and he's been cleansing me since I've been saved. Amen. You say, does that bother you? Oh, no. Why would it bother me? I'm rejoicing in it tonight. Amen. If it wasn't for that, you think about how stained and corrupt and defiled and how far from God we would be tonight. Amen. But Jesus' blood has made a way. Amen. His offering and his sacrifice has made a way. And I love how it talks about this purifying process. It took somebody who was clean to make an unclean person purified. Amen. And he wasn't talking about the Pope. And he wasn't talking about a priest somewhere in a booth somewhere. I don't even know what they call it. Amen. I heard Randy Sutherland say one time, go down, talk to a knothead behind a knot hole. I don't understand. Amen. All of that. But amen, go down to somebody who dresses like Mama and call him Papa. Amen. I don't know nothing about all that. That's what I got from Brother Sutherland. Amen. But I know this. Amen. If you're going to find a clean person for cleansing tonight and purifying for your spiritual life as a child of God, to make you fit for worship in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to have to go to the one who is the mediator between God and men. You have to go to the one who's the cleanest of the clean. You have to get to Jesus Christ if you're going to be purified from your sin. Amen. Amen. And so that is the instructions of the red heifer. Number two, I only have 3 points. Amen. I want to deal with tonight, maybe outside of the scripture for a minute, I'll reference some, but I want to deal with the indignation over the red heifer. The indignation over the red heifer. We're bombarded in this hour about things going on in the Middle East. We understand there's war there tonight. There's war all over Europe. And I could even argue America is at war with invasion from our northern and southern borders. You ain't got to like that, but you do got to swallow that. We are in a war tonight. America's under invasion. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. And so we're bombarded with these things. We give consideration tonight as it pertains to Israel. And we understand what they went through on October the 7th. By the way, that wasn't the beginning of it. It's been going on a long, long time. And there's been a lot of war and a lot of bloodshed and a lot of lives that have been lost. But there is a ramping up, if you will, in recent months and even over the last several years of an indignation against Israel tonight. And I want to try to work it through and show you that it is connected to Numbers 19. Now, we think about the red heifer tonight, the indignation over it. Let me give you a little bit of background and get us to where we are tonight. In 1997, 2002, and 2018, there were red heifers that were found and considered for the 10th offering. Remember in the Mishnah, they said there would be 10 offerings of a red heifer, and that would usher in the coming of their Messiah. And in 97, 2002, 2018, they sought that out and believed that they had found in each of those years a suitable red heifer for an offering or sacrifice. Each of these in each of those years were deemed unqualified. After meticulous examination, it would astound you, and you can go study this for yourself, Brother Bryson. It would astound you how meticulous that those observers of these red heifers are in going over it with a fine-tooth comb and magnifying glass, looking for just one or two hairs that were not red. They would go over them at, and maybe from your Gentile view and maybe from your standpoint, you'd say, well, it's got to be good enough. But in each of those years, what looked to be good enough after was examined. There would be some kind of spot, some sort of blemish, some sort of disqualifying mark or experience that would be brought upon each of those red heifers, and they turned them away as unsuitable for what God had commanded Moses to offer by way of a red heifer sacrifice. Something happened in September 2022. A farm in all places, Texas, in the United States, was discovered to have what it believed to be perfect red Angus cows to be considered for sacrifice. They contacted the Temple Institute in Jerusalem and told them what they had. They immediately flew some experts, if you will, to go and examine and consider whether or not they thought maybe these would be suitable for the red heifer sacrifice. Here's what they did in 2022. They purchased five red heifers for $500,000. That is the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. They had them flown from Texas all the way to Israel. Now, to show you what a complicated thing that is America has laws. You cannot transfer livestock out of our country to another country. But Israel found a loophole, and they went to the U.S. They went to the U.S., whoever, customs and all of that. And here's what they said. These are not livestock. We are buying them for pets. They weren't buying them for pets. They were buying them for sacrifice. They were buying them when since September 2022, and the buying of these red heifers and the transporting of them unto Jerusalem since 2022, one has been disqualified, but four remain viable. Amen. They're still watching them. They have to watch them up to the very moment It doesn't matter if they're getting ready to raise the knife and slay that red heifer. In that moment, if they spot one white hair, if they find one blemish on that heifer, if they find, my friend, one marking on it, if it trips, why, it's being led to the altar to be sacrificed and skins its knee, it is deemed a unviable, unqualified offering for the red heifer sacrifice. Land has been purchased outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. I don't have the man's name. He's a rabbi. He has personally purchased land on the Mount of Olives on the side facing to Jerusalem. It is overlooking the Temple Mount, and you can find this on a search tonight when you go home. And there is an altar already that has been erected with the desire to sacrifice one of these red heifers again for Passover 2024, which this year will be April 22nd to the 30th. That is this very month you're living in. Amen. And so this is something that's a big deal to them tonight in Israel. They're as divided in Israel as we are in America tonight. There's a certain segment of Israel and Jewish people that want nothing to do with this. But there is another crowd that is absolutely set and determined and desirous for this to take place. Now the indignation over these red heifers is seen in the statements made. Y'all ready for this? I'm going to give you some names you've heard in the news. Hamas and Hezbollah are talking a lot about the red heifers tonight. They are saying that the very bringing, the very purchase and transport of these red heifers from the United States to Jerusalem and to Israel, and all the talk that they want to offer one of these as soon as they can. And here's the language the Temple Institute is using. Here's what they're saying, why they, Brother Tim, have not offered one yet. They said, we're just waiting on God to tell us when. Now, they desire in their heart to do it Passover this year. But Hamas and Hezbollah are using this as justification for their attacks in recent days on Israel, including the October 7th massacre. And I need everybody to look this way. Hamas and Hezbollah are demon-possessed devils. They are demon-possessed devils giving no sanctity to life whatsoever. They don't need an excuse. They don't need another log on the fire. It doesn't matter what Israel or the rest of the world does or does not do. They hate Israel. They hate God. They hate Christianity. And they, my friend, listen, they do not know God. They're not interested in peace. And they're going to attack and massacre and take life no matter what is done or not done. But in their mind, there's something about them red heifers being in Jerusalem that they are using to justify tonight the taking of over 1,300 lives and the raping of women and children and the bloodshed and the hostages that have been taken and stolen. And they're using to justify all of that because Israel has five red heifers in Jerusalem tonight. Amen. They're mad about it. The Arab world tonight is mad about them red heifers. They're ticked off about them red heifers. In fact, Hamas has been very dogmatic. Hezbollah as well has been very dogmatic. Hamas especially said at one of their stated goals, one of the reasons they were able to stir themselves to go into Israel and shed blood and massacre, they weren't just looking to kill people. It was their stated goal to somehow, some way, find those red heifers and kill them. Why are they so mad about a few red cows? Why is it, Brother Jack, they're ticked off that they would be willing to do the things they did in Israel that literally brought tears to my eyes on October the 7th as those news reports were coming back under the United States and the pictures that we seen. And thankfully, we didn't have to see the worst of it. It was filtered that. It was far worse than anything you ever saw on television or watched on the internet. And thank God we've been sheltered from seeing the full brutality of all of that. Why is it that they're so mad about a few red cows that they would be willing to do this? Here's what a Hamas spokesman, Abu Abada, said on the 100th day of the war that began on October the 7th. Here's what he said back in January. He said, the only thing left is the slaughtering of the red heifers, which they imported from the U.S. If they did that, they're talking about Israel. If they did that, here's why they're mad. It's the signal, he said, it's a signal to rebuild the third temple. Here's what those in Zion, we can call them Zionists, we can call them Judaizers, we can call them whatever you want to call them. All right? They are people that love their country. Would to God we had people in America that love their country like some of them do. Amen. And I believe we do. I'm just saying we need more of us. We ain't the problem in this nation. That's a whole nother message. Let me say tonight, Hamas, whether you believe this, listen, we're not looking for a red heifer. I'll show you our red heifer's already been slain in a minute. The 10th one's already been slain. I'm going to show you. Did y'all hear what I said? I'm going to show you in a minute the 10th one's already been slain and was slain by the Messiah. We ain't looking for it. But it doesn't matter what we're looking for tonight or not. What matters is what a bunch of Jews and Arabs believe in the Middle East tonight. Why are they so mad? Why are they so ticked off? Why is it ramping up? And they'll say, well, it's Netanyahu's fault. And I thought about putting in some things about him tonight that would blow your ever-loving mind. I'm talking about it would stretch you things that no doubt God's hand has been in. Amen, y'all may would even get mad at me if I preach some of it. Amen. And I'm a fan of Benjamin Netanyahu. But everybody look up here. Everything going on in Israel tonight in their political system from top to bottom is not just about vengeance. They're on a spiritual, listen, it is a spiritual warfare tonight between the Jews who are wrong and Arabs who are wrong. You listening? You got Jews trying to force in a third temple through the red heifer, and you got Arabs who believe that's what they believe, who are thinking if they do that, they are going to establish the third temple. So why would that be a problem? Why is Hamas and Hezbollah and the Arab world so mad about this? Because at the Temple Mount, where the Temple of God had originally been built in the days of Solomon, and then again the second temple known as Herod's Temple rested in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, it was destroyed in AD 70. And the Jews were scattered throughout the world, and we know about their suffering and their plight for all these years, all the way to 1967. But in 705 AD, you'll find that is when on the Temple Mount there was a Muslim mosque that was built. It's called Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is the third most sacred site in the Muslim mind for their worship. And it's been under Muslim control since 705 AD. That is, for 1,319 years, the Muslim has been on the Temple Mount. There's been no bloodshed. There's been no sacrifice. There's not needed to be any because Jesus already came and did all that. But in the Jews' mind, there is a longing to obtain that one more time. They long to see a third temple erected and built. They long to see temple worship established. And only that can happen through the red heifer offering and sacrifice and the purification that it brings to the temple worship as a whole. And their belief is in Jews and even Christians in the Muslim mind, they're not even allowed. Now you can go to the Temple Mount, but if they catch you praying there as a Jew or as a Christian, they will run you off the mountain and they will persecute you and throw you off if they don't imprison you and kill you before they get done with you. Tonight, the sacrifice of the red heifer in their belief, that is the Muslims' belief, it means war for the control of this very site. I don't have time to run through all the scriptures. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. There is going to be a third temple built. And it's going to be built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And they ain't one thing one Muslim is going to do to stop it. They can make war. They can beat each other's brains out. They can lob missiles. There ain't one thing one Muslim's going to do to stop that third temple when God gives the green light and God begins to move the pawns around as the master of it all, the one who is sovereign over it all. That third temple is going to be rebuilt one of these days. Zechariah 2 and verse number 3, Matthew 24, 15, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, all give indication and spell out clearly, along with many, many other verses, that there is going to be a third temple built on that Temple Mount. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen. It's going to happen sometime. And in the mind of the Jew and the Muslim tonight, that can only happen when the red heifer is slain. That's why they're at war. That's why they're killing each other tonight. Amen. I hope I'm not boring you this evening. I hope I'm not boring you this evening. There is a time in which the temple is going to be rebuilt. The red heifer offering and sacrifice is absolutely connected to that. And so they're warring and they're fighting. And they're going to continue to do that. But I believe tonight that soon, and there is a burning in the heart of the Jewish people tonight, that they could return to their old roots and their ancient ways. They have a desire to go back to the law of Moses in all its totality and all of its temple worship. And I find it so amazing tonight. What better way for an Antichrist to come on the scene? For one that is going to say that he is their Messiah and he is the Savior of the world, to come and say, yes, I'll join you in these endeavors. I'll make peace with the Muslim world. I'll get them to go along with it. I'll get them to embrace this idea. And according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will in that temple set himself as God over this world. He's going to embrace the red heifer. He's going to embrace the building of the third temple. Amen. One of these days, King Jesus is coming back. Amen. And he's going to purify the third temple like he did the second temple. He's going to kick the Antichrist out. He's going to purge in from all its sin. And thank God, he shall rule and reign forever and ever. Amen. The indignation over the red heifer. Let me give you this, and I'm done tonight. The inferiority the inferiority of the red heifer. Would you go with me to the New Testament? You say, preacher, you've been in the Old Testament. You've been screaming about Hamas and Arabs and Muslims and Jews and war and bloodshed and people being mad. Would you go to Hebrews chapter number 9? In Hebrews, we know that it's a book about Jesus being better. That everything before him is inferior to him. He's better, he's greater, he's better than the angels, he's better than Moses, he's better than Aaron, he's better than Melchizedek. He's better than the law and the ordinances and the sacrifices. Thank God he's taken us to a better country. And he provides a better salvation. And on and on and on through the book of Hebrews, we find that Jesus is greater and everything and everyone is inferior to him. Tonight, the Jews are looking for the Messiah. Remember in the Mishnah, their belief through their rabbi's teaching is that the Messiah is going to come and offer the 10th red heifer and rebuild the temple. Here's what I want you to get a hold of tonight. Jesus already did that through the sacrifice of himself. You say, do you believe that? I believe it because of what I'm getting ready to read to you. Hebrews 9, I know this is a different kind of message. Hang with me, I'm nearly done. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest, of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in. Once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Here's what Paul is going to reason about this then. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, don't miss it now, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Say, what are you saying? I'm not looking for a red heifer. Amen. I ain't got to go to Texas. I ain't got to go to Jerusalem. I ain't got to go to the Mount of Olives. Amen. Oh, thank God. Amen. Jesus already came and he offered himself as the final offering or the purifying of our sin, our conscience, and our ability to live for God. Amen. Amen. I can live for God today, not because I'm anything, not because I've merited some kind of favor with him, but because the offering of the red heifer has come down from God, who the offering of his own son. Amen. Amen. What a blessed, blessed thought it is tonight. That we've already found the one the Jews are looking for. By faith we have come to know the one the Muslim hates so bad. Amen. The sacrifice of a red heifer in Jerusalem is pointless. Let me say that again. You say, you running down Israel tonight. I love Israel. I support Israel. I think we ought to give them all the support we need. Shame on our president for backing down his little noodle back. Amen. Let me say that again, his little old noodle back. Amen. His old puppet strings, his puppet masters are pulling on. Amen. Getting him, he gonna tell Israel, y'all are just getting a little too carried away. And I'm not one of these guys who thinks Israel's done everything right. A lot of things they do ain't right, including trying to find a red heifer and kill it on the Mount of Olives. It's pointless to kill a red heifer. Go because Jesus already paid it all. Already paid it all. Hallelujah. You can kill every red heifer you can find in the world and stack up ashes on top of each other. But if Christ is not received, it'll all be in vain. He is a better cleansing agent than the ashes of a heifer could ever hope to be. That's why. Now, I don't know how all this is going to work out. I told you I'm not an expert in prophecy. Don't claim to be. What I know well, but I don't know it all by far. I am by far behind on some of my prophecy. I don't know how all this is going to take place. But here's what I know. That Jew, those Jews, they want the red heifer to die so they can have them ashes so they can go through all that purifying. But when Jesus comes, he's going to have to purify it. Brother Larry, he'll purify it without any ashes of a red heifer. So how's he going to do it then? By himself. He's been doing a pretty good job in my life cleansing me. I'm looking at some of y'all. He's been doing a pretty good job cleansing you since you got saved. When he comes again, he won't need no ashes. It's been stored away out in a clean place. Amen. Before he purifies the temple, he'll come in and do it himself. Thank God he'll sit down and he will rule and reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, never to be dethroned right there in the house of God. Amen. What a day that's going to be. I'm glad I know the greater way. Amen. 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 Somebody said, well, you must hate the Jewish people. I told you I don't hate the Jewish people. We love the Jewish people. We support them. I say we ought to, amen, quit, amen, don't you get mad at me now. I say we ought to quit giving all our money to Ukraine and start giving more to Israel. You can do with that what you want. That's a whole nother message right there. Biggest bunch of corrupt politicians you ever did see. Amen. 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 I'm for Israel. I think I ought to give them, and thank God we did. We give them some of them new fighter jets, supersonic, nothing like the rest of the world's ever even seen. Amen. Maybe God will bless our country for doing that. I'm telling you spiritually tonight, it is pointless for them. They can go over all of them red heifers up and down, in and out, say, oh, we have found one. They can walk it outside through Jerusalem, outside the gates, up to the Mount of Olives. Brother Tim, if you'll find it tonight, you can see it. They already got pictures of it. You'll see a huge white altar that they have built. It's got a huge white ramp and rails on the side, and at the top there's an altar at the top of it where they plan on killing one of them red heifers. I'm talking about they mean to do it. They not playing around about it. Amen. All of that, do you know how pointless that's going to be? I'm just talking to you for a minute. I'm done. We're going to get out of here. Do you know how repulsive that's going to be to God? When they stab that thing and begin to bleed it out, and they put that thing in the fire, I don't care, they can't put enough cedar, hyssop, and scarlet in it to make God be drawn to it. God will curl his nose up. And it may be that very thing, Brother Bob, that brings down the wrath of God in the tribulation period that begins it when they kill another offering and God's already killed his son. You know how repulsive that's going to be to Almighty God. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? What about all this? I'm not saying, I'm not making any predictions, I'm not making any dogmatic statements. I told you what Numbers 19 said. I told you what Hamas and Hezbollah and Arabs and the Jews are saying. I've told you what God said in Hebrews 9. But here's what I will tell you tonight. You ought to be excited as a child of God. Even the fact that we're talking about these things tells me we're about. We're about that close to getting out of here. Amen. Oh, it ain't going to be long, child of God. I wish I had a voice I'd preach another hour on. Just hang in there. It ain't going to be long. Amen. Don't you throw in the white. Don't throw up the white flag. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get out of the fight. Jesus is on his way. These are exciting days. I know they bog us down. I'm so sick of hearing about war and all the stuff. But Jesus is coming. And when he comes, they're going to make it all right. Everything's going to be better when Jesus comes. Amen. What's the big deal about the red heifer?